Hi, I'm Simon Campbell.
And I'm Susie Starlight of the Starlight Campbell Band.
Welcome to the Supertone Show. walking out the door, the Starlight Campbell Band. That's us.
That is. It's just at the end there, because you don't listen to that song very often. So it feels to me like there was like the Swedish chef in there just going right in the kitchen. It was really intense. And it was just really peaked, didn't it?
Well, Johnny was, I think he was turning the Hammond on and off.
Yeah,
and that's
yeah.
what happens. All the motor goes out of sync and it really goes crazy, you know. So anyway.
So it's really funny. So welcome to the Supertone Show this week. And we're doing a special edition of the show for the next 2 weeks, because Selma and I are full-time musicians, you know, and we're going to play at Linton Festival in Rot-on-Wye. And then you had this great idea that why don't we do a couple of shows featuring all the bands and artists that are going to be playing at the festival.
Indeed.
So we've been on this amazing adventure, haven't we? So we thought we'd kick off the show with our song, Walking Out the Door.
From Blueberry Pie.
Yeah. And Blueberry Pie is our debut album that we wrote together. And it got nominated for Best Album at the European Blues Awards. This last one just gone. It was so exciting.
Certainly did.
So okay then. So let me sit here as if I'm interviewing you, darling. I know it's a bit weird because we're not really used to talking about ourselves in this way. But tell me about Walking Out the Door.
Well, the whole album, you can read about all it can. But we'll just talk about this particular track. And you basically wrote the bass line, didn't you?
I did.
And
we were jamming in the back garden,
yeah,
weren't we?
We're out in the garden, and you came up with the bass line, and I thought, wow, that sounds great, you know. And within a few minutes, we'd sort of got the verse and the chorus and virtually all the lyrics. Just one of those ones that just came out, wasn't it? You know. Vocal was done first take. We used the original vocal, if you remember.
Yeah.
But with the whole album, and this particular track, what we tried to do when we were producing it, because we produced it, we recorded it, we wrote it, we did everything, we played on it with Johnny Henderson on keyboards, the mighty Johnny Henderson, and the mighty Steve Gibson on drums.
Doesn't he? Oh, I tell you what.
What a hell of a groove.
What a groove.
And what we tried to do with it is that we tried to sort of get that feeling of the mid to late 60s and early 70s. In the recording technique, and we use very few mics on the drums, we use very few mics on the guitars, the bass amp was mic'd up, it wasn't DI'd, and we tried to do it and we recorded it all together, and we tried to do it in a very organic fashion, and because that's what the song, I think, and the album demanded, and we wanted to be fresh by looking, you know, to those early techniques. We've been reading a lot of books, you know. I read the Daniel Lanois book recently, and Jeff Emmerich, of course, Phil Brown, I'm on with at the moment, and all these guys, Glenn Johns, and all these guys, you know, with the talk about how they used to record. And I think that music's lost so much. And, you know, on the album, there are mistakes, being quite honest about it. I listen to it sometimes, and I hear a note, you know. But we didn't take it out. What we did, we left it in because we played all together and bugger it, really. That was the thing. And it came out really well. It was mastered by...
John Astley.
John Astley, the mighty John Astley, yeah, he worked on The Who and Led Zeppelin, and he really understood what we were trying to get with, you know. I mean, I was overloading the desk. He was really pushing the everything on the mastering. And I think, you know, together as a unit, it's come out pretty well.
I think that's nicely explained. And I think if I did it in a laywoman's term, it would be really about... The way I understood it is capturing a band alive as if they're playing live. That what we wanted to do was capture the spirit of the music and not overproduce it and not sterilise it and not try and make it perfect, but to very much capture it as if you were in the room with the band, so that the album, you could play it any time, forever. It would sound real.
Yeah, and I think it'll really work on vinyl as well when we get it on vinyl.
I know.
But of course on there, just for a guitar geek moment, of course, yeah. I was using a fuzz pedal.
Not the fuzz!
The mighty fuzz, you can hear it in those little riffs in the verse and stuff. And I build it up, you know, with the fuzz. And I think it really adds that sort of feeling, that old school feeling, you know, because fuzz is what it's all about.
And you know, when your guitar thing, you know, and it really is, when you play, especially on that track as well, and there are quite a few other tracks that you do, you speak. I hear this language with you. I don't know why you're just like, I hear that. It's like a language, and I'm just, I get it. I know what you're saying. but I couldn't put it into words.
Well, I'm really into it, you know, and I was when I was actually doing the solo, like I didn't do that live. I did it. I think that was perhaps one take. I don't know, and but it was a hell of a thing. Mm. I just got this old Tweed Deluxe that we've got. It's like 10 watts on full, yeah, with a Telecaster. I was in the studio and I had head cans on, and I just went for it, you know. And it was like it was crazy.
Funny.
You can hear it feeding back as well if you listen to it. There's no pedals on it; it's just straight in there on full, you know. Telecaster straight into the amp on full, a la Jimmy Page.
Fantastic. Well, that was our debut album, Blueberry Pie, and that single was Walking Out the Door. Loving Your Love by Kyla Brox from the 2016 album Throw Away Your Blues, released on a great label called Pigskin Records. Great, eh?
Get your wallet out.
Whoa. I know.
Ba-boom.
Sorry.
Yeah. I didn't know she did that. Well, yeah, Kyla Brox. Well, I've never met Kyla, but I do know her dad, because when we were doing the Deeper Vale Festival in the 70s, I remember Victor Brox was, I think we were before him on the bill. And I remember him asking me if he could use my gear for his keyboards.
Really?
That's absolutely right, yeah. And now, bearing in mind, this was an open-air festival, and the PAs were pretty dodgy in those days. So I was using four Orange 120-watt amps on full.
Right.
That's 4 amps, just to the 120. No master volume, everything on full. Right. I had it was 3 4x12s, an 8x10, and a 2x15 cabinet.
That's mental.
Oh, it was. Well, my flares were certainly flapping. I can tell you that because I was fully flared up, and which was a bit out of fashion. Like, it was about 1976, punk was coming in. Everybody had drain pipes, except for
the
me.
The last bastion.
Yeah, there we are.
Campbell flares.
I had my caftan and my leather flares.
Caftan?
Oh, yeah. Oh, goodness me. Yeah, of course it is.
Yeah, I know about the caftan, actually.
But Victor, and I remember him putting his keyboards. Well, I've never heard anything like it. The volume was absolutely ferocious.
Was it?
Oh, God.
Was he happy? Did he have a big grin on his face?
Yeah, he did, yeah. I don't think anybody could hear for a week afterwards, but it was fantastic. I remember we had so much gear on the stage at Deeply Vale that the whole stage was sinking. It was like a metal structure by a little stream at the back there. Anyway, Kyla Brox.
So Kyla's Victor's daughter.
Indeed.
And I've met Victor as well. He did a show up at Molesley for a motorcycle festival I was helping out on. He's a lovely guy, actually. Very, very talented. He's best known for playing Caiaphas in the album Jesus Christ Superstar from 1970.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's on the track. And Kyla's mum played, she was on the album as well. And she's Annette Brox, that's her name, and she played The Maid by the Fire.
The Maid by the Fire.
I really wanted to get a name from a character or something, and I've tried, but, you know, there's only so many hours I can do with research. It's like, so basically Annette and Victor got together and had Kyla. They did separate, and I think this is what Kyla was saying in her biography when I was reading on a website about how, I think they were separated when she was quite young, so she started singing and taking an interest in music to sort of try and be close to her dad, who was away a lot and travelling and gigging and stuff. But what I love, I mean, it's really lovely to have that legacy, and you pay a price for that as well, especially if you've got a famous dad who's been away a lot. But by the age of 12, she made her debut singing with Victor at Band on the Wall.
No.
In Manchester. Well, we both played there.
We
love Band on the Wall.
Great.
So, in a way, I'm so looking forward to meeting Kyla because she's on after us, or the next band on after us at
Vinton.
That's
Linton, right, yeah.
On the
so
Saturday.
She's on the Saturday, isn't she?
That's right, yeah. So her story goes that she started touring as well, age 13, with the Victor Brox Blues Train, but it was known informally as the Child Slavery Band.
Not very PC now.
No, exactly not. But a lot of the members were really young. So I think she was 13. Bassist Danny Blomley was 13. And drummer Phil Considine was 19 at the time. Yeah. So, and
that's
they
fantastic.
Toured.
Something
isn't
like
great,
bringing
though?
On your musicians. That's a great thing, though.
So she was touring with her dad. She toured Australia in like 2000. And then when she came back, she formed a duo with Danny, 2001. And occasionally members from the old Victor Brox Blues Train would join in, and they settled down to the Kyla Brox Band. And she played Colne in 2002, and I think that was a breakthrough for her as an independent individual. So she's got her own identity. And I think also that's really important, and what I really like about Kyla. She's her own woman, and she's made an identity for herself, and
great
she goes
voice.
On cruises. I've seen her, because, of course, Steve Gibson, our drummer, has played with Kyla. So, I mean, it's all one big family, and I think this is what I love, too. And so, also, her album, Throw Away Your Blues, is actually available, and I love this, on 180-gram vinyl.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, you should rush out and buy it, and come to see us all on the 7th of July at Linton Festival. Innis Siben, Rattlesnake Shake, a bonus track from the 1995 album Superstitious on Viceroy Records.
Do you know, I've not heard how you pronounce his name, so it could be Innis Siben.
It could be.
But I like that. Yeah, that track.
I'm from Ramsbottom.
I know.
So therefore, I can get away with anything.
Oh, it's so funny. But I was just thinking, actually, I don't know. But we'll find out when we meet him at Linton Festival.
Will.
Now, the reason why we've played that track is because there's a new band on the scene called the Malone Siben Band, which is a fusion of Innis Siben and Marcus Malone. And they were launched just recently, a couple of months ago, in March this year. And they haven't actually released anything yet. So because these guys are really shit hot, basically, we thought we'd play one track from each of their own solo albums, and then it gives you a flavour, because this apparently is a fusion of both their influences. So Innis, let's talk about Innis, who was born in Bath, 1968, began playing guitar at the age of 12 after listening to the legendary B.B. King.
Of course.
Of course. And his first band was called the Blues Explosion. And he recorded an album called That's What the Blues Can Do in 1991, produced by...
Mike Vernon again. He's everywhere, like bear shit in the woods. But we love him.
I know. But it's so funny. Isn't he like an old friend, isn't he? Because everywhere we go, oh, it's Mike again. All right, how you doing? So that album was voted best album in Ireland as well. So he did really well. And then in a couple of years later after that, Robert Plant asked him to join his backing band for his Fate of the Nations album tour.
As you do.
As you do. So, you know, I mean, the thing is, and he's got such a great long wiki, but the main thing is I got a bit overwhelmed, because actually at the end of the day, I wanted to talk to you about the music. It's good to have a sense of, okay, this guy and a little bit of his history. But what's happening with him in terms of his guitar playing, because you're a guitar player?
Well, you know, this is from 1995, and the first thing I can talk about there is wah-wah. Right at the very end, there was a little bit of whistling feedback due to the over-judicious use of the wah pedal going right forward. It feeds back, it's whistling through the amp. Yeah. That means it's probably very loud, which is good.
Which is great.
So, and it does sound like he's rocking the shit out of it there. And, you know, he's a lovely guitar player, isn't he? I mean, the thing is with guitar players, though, is that, you know, I look around and there's hundreds of thousands of great guitar players. You go to Nashville and you shake a tree and 10 amazing players come out, you know. This guy, he's certainly got something which is really, really cool, you know. He's got a good tone. That's what I like. It's very rich, very powerful. And as I said, from 1995, it's a long time ago, and doing that sort of thing in those, you know, in those days is, you know, it was really cool.
And he's been going for some time, because he's open for like Johnny Winter, Taj Mahal, Peter Green. So, I mean, he's really travelled, and I think he's very much a travelling... Music's in his blood. You can see that. You can feel it with him, can't you?
Absolutely, yeah.
So I'm really excited to hear what those two are going to get up to at the festival, though.
And we're going to be playing a track later on by...
Marcus Malone.
Marcus Malone. Right, great. Shout at night.
Jack Past Eight by the amazing Deborah Bonham from the album Duchess. That was released in 2008.
The sister of John Bonham.
Mm. Or John Bonham was Deborah's brother.
Yeah. Unfortunately, having a brother like John Bonham, I mean, he's like, you know, he's more popular or more famous than Buddy God in the rock. You know,
I know, it's funny actually. It was quite an interesting read, this, in terms of getting to know Deborah, because I have not met her yet. And she was 6 years old when Led Zeppelin were formed.
No.
Yeah. So she's quite a lot younger than John. So she was hanging out and recording songs with John's son, Jason, her nephew.
Right.
So that's kind of, they're more of a equal age in that. And she grew up and lived at the old Hyde estate in Cutnell Green in Worcestershire, where John Bonham filmed that fantasy sequence for The Song Remains the Same.
No, is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, so it's quite interesting, actually, because I think Deborah's actually connected in to a lot of our history, isn't she? And she's interwoven into the tapestry of the bands we know. And what I love about her is that she's weaving her own path. Barefoot, by the way, this is something I love about as well. She sings barefoot. And I love that because it gives her a grounding. She doesn't want anything to get in the way from her singing.
Mm.
And I used to do that a lot as well.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. I also used to sing that.
And now you've got your boots of rock.
I know, I have to when I'm playing bass, but I don't wear heels in my bass because I want to feel grounded. So I really relate to what she says about that. And she loves dogs as well. So she's really spiritual and earthy, and I really like her, and I can't wait to meet her. And the good thing as well is that when she was, sorry for talking a lot in this link, but
it's good.
About her is that Rob Plant was like mentoring her as well. So you can imagine there was a bit of an age difference, and he encouraged her to send off her first songs anonymously. She recorded her demos at his house down the road in the next village.
No.
Yeah. So he was really cool with her. And I think Deborah's mum was like his second mother. So I think there was a big family connection.
We like Robert Plant.
Oh, yeah.
He's a cool guy.
He's really cool. And she's really cool as well. So I just feel like there's this whole cool family scene going on. I mean, Rob used to be down the Hope and Anchor in Ross all the time when I was growing up. He used to be somebody that I just saw around, you know, and didn't realise.
I know.
It makes me sick. But I didn't know. I was into soul funk disco, so it didn't really matter. It could have been, you know... could have been the most famous person in the world. He was, and I didn't even know, because I'm about the music. I'm not about the celebrity. That's just like a mental illness. That's just a bit weird for me. I like real people and real music. Now,
well, talking about celebrities, she's toured and performed with Robert Plant, Van Halen, Alan Peebles, Humble Pie, Foreigner, Ozzy Osbourne, Nazareth, Jules Holland, Stax Label Legend, Steve Cropper, the Colonel.
So who?
Yeah, flipping heck. You know, I mean, so obviously, you know, the connection with, you know, with John is a big thing. But, you know, she's really making it on her own.
Yeah.
And she's got a great voice, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And the band, what I like
Go
about
girl.
That, it's a very, the production is sort of, it's Pretty Little Feet. It's got that sort of swing, that American thing going on, which I really like, you know. And obviously, she's got some great players on there. It's, you know, nice recorded record, nice song, you know. But it's got that vibe, that vintage vibe about it that we, of course, love.
Yeah, and I think she's when she was saying in this interview I watched, saying that, you know, John asked her what she was going to do when she left school, and he thought he was going to be a vet or something. She had to whisper in his ear that she wanted to be a musician. I think he gave her a what for, because he really didn't want her to do it. So it's for me, what I like about her as well is I think it's an organic and honest journey that she's on, you know. And she's kept her feet on the ground, and I think she's probably a joy. Exactly, yeah. But she's a joy to be around in the music scene for all the people that might have these big profiles. I think she's a breath of fresh air, just walking through going, all right, love.
Excellent. Well, we'll look forward to seeing her at Linton Festival, which is the 6th to the 8th
of July.
Yeah, it's your birthday on the 8th as well.
It is. Double celebration. Woohoo!
Perfect pose from the canvas to your
Marcus Malone and The Only One, a track taken from his 2017 album A Better Man.
Overuse of double kick drum pedal at the end there. I just detected in the fade there was the drummer was allowed to use his double pedal. I don't think he was using double bass drums, but there we are. You know what I like about that? Yeah. I like his guitar sound.
Yeah.
It's penetrating. It sounds like a Fender to me. I don't exactly know. I'll have to look him up. It's got a slightly wiry sound to it, which I like. I like his playing, you know, and I think the song is nice. It's progressive. It is. It's not bluesy. It's almost poppy in a way, you know. Mm. So you know, it's a nice song.
I love the harmonies on that. Yeah. It's quite a lifting. When I was listening to the album, that midpoint for me, it lifted the album for me, and that's why I chose it, because I really liked it.
Nice is rude, actually. It's more than nice. It's a good song.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he did very well on this, didn't he?
Because he got nominated for Best Album in the European Blues Awards alongside us.
No. I didn't know.
Yeah.
Of course he did, yeah.
Of course he did.
Yeah, it's just clicked.
It's Marcus Malone. Ah. How cool is that, though? So it's just like, how exciting.
Fantastic.
I know. So that was it.
It's like we're almost like brothers.
I know. When I saw the lineup for Linton, I'm like, when we got asked to play the festival, I was like, no way, there's that guy that got nominated for Best Album in the same category as us. So I'm so excited about this festival. You know, the programming this year is really, really cool. They've done themselves a really good job there, you know, the Linton Festival team.
Well, that's right. I think there's like a selection of unusual artists. There's a lot of people that you don't normally see kicking around, you know. Yeah. And it's great.
And it's been a fantastic sort of research project for me as well, just really trying to get to know people a little bit better as well. And Marcus comes from Detroit, you know.
Mm.
And he started out sort of as a West Coast metal star, and then he worked on some demos for Motown, moved to LA, signed to United Artists, and then sort of became a transition into a soulful blues rocker. So he's been on this long sort of musical journey.
And of course, now he's teamed up with Siben.
Yep. So, he's teamed up with Innes Siben. So now it's the Malone Siben Band.
Right.
So hence, there's no recording of their fusion of influences, and they haven't written together. Well, they haven't recorded anything or released anything yet. So.
I'm looking forward to listening to it, because I think it's going to be really good. Because I can hear that guitar working, you know, the guitars working together.
Yeah.
And certainly a lot of songwriting talent. I'm really looking forward to hearing it.
So it's quite an interesting story, really, because Innes and Marcus met by accident on a gig somewhere, and they found they had a lot in common, especially musically. So they decided to form this band together, and our friend Pete Feenstra in London gave them a couple of gigs. So they played at the Boom Boom Club and the Beaverwood Club. And so it's...
We're going to be playing there next year.
I know.
Yeah.
It's very exciting.
I like Pete Feenstra. He's a good man.
And I'm really looking forward to hearing the Malone Syburn Band. Have a grown woman.
You're listening to the Supertone Show Linton Festival Special with Susie Starlight and Simon Campbell of the Starlight Campbell Band.
And that was Dead Man's Chest by a band called Lavendor Rogue. And on the website, they tell you how to pronounce it because it's a little tricky. Pronounce lav as in the toilet, end as in not the beginning, or as in iron.
I'm glad I didn't back it out. Exactly. I'm terrible.
Yeah, these guys, they're from Colchester, Essex. And I think they're a handful.
They sound like it. Well, we're going to be meeting them probably.
I know.
At the festival.
I really, really enjoyed that track. How uplifting was that song?
Well, you know
song?
What it's got? It's got that Rolling Stones.
Yes. You're right.
It's got that, you know, it's got that Keith Richards sort of thing going on with the, and that lazy sort of groove, you know. That's where it's at. And it's a good song. You know, as I said, very uplifting, generally good song written, you know. It's a lovely sound, nice vocal.
Yeah, it just
great.
Made me feel happy, which is always a good thing, especially for a band that's playing a festival. But funny you should say that, because when I was looking at finding out who these guys are, it features three former members of a much-missed roots rockers band called the Hokey Joint. And they're described as a force of nature who combine the swagger of the early Rolling Stones, the attitude of Dr. Feelgood, and the horror of The Walking Dead. Blues noir is officially a thing.
The Walking Dead? They're not doing the hokey-cokey, then.
I have no idea. But Rock Times describes them as a fiery blend of Americana, country, punk and rock and roll.
Yeah, it's got that sort of thing going on.
It was funny, you know, because I hadn't heard about them before, but they won, there's this thing called the UK, well, the Blues Challenge, really. It's all over the world. It's a competition of blues bands. I particularly don't subscribe to any type of competition when it comes to music, but they won last year's UK Blues Challenge at the Cavern Club, which basically saw them go and play in Memphis and Norway.
Blimey. So we're going to play in the Cavern as well, aren't we?
We are. Very, very exciting. I love the Cavern. I used to work in Liverpool for a while, so it'll be really lovely. And
you've got the accent for it.
Do you know what? I wish I could do accents because I'm terrible. It's like, that's one of the reasons why I decided I didn't want to go into acting because I trained in theatre, because I actually didn't feel that I was... two things. Didn't feel I was flexible enough in my accents because I can do a country accent because I come from Herefordshire, mind. And nearly an RP, but still probably have a few problems with vowels, and that's it. Maybe an American, but which part of America? I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, always tricky.
I know, but I always thought, but see, and also I didn't want to sort of spend my life saying other people's words. I wanted to write my own statement, you know, my own footprint on the planet and say something.
Of course.
And another thing before we leave about Lavendel Rogue is Joe Cushley is their manager. Now, I know Joe. I've messaged Joe because he actually is a music consultant and he programs the overnight playlist for BBC Radio 2 Blues.
Does he now?
Yeah, and he's their manager.
Holy moly,
and
that's
Joe's
a bit
really
of a find.
Cool. Yeah, no, I like Joe. He's really nice. And also, so they're playing the band are playing Ealing Festival later on this year as well. But this year, Lavendel Rogue are playing Linton Festival near Ross on Wye in Herefordshire.
Cause all I want to do is live and slow down dirty blue. want to do is to slow down Benny Blue. Cause all I want to do is to slow down Benny Blue. Cause all I want to do is to slow down Benny Blue. Oh yeah.
Pat McManus, Low Down Dirty Blues from the 2009 album Live and In Time.
I wonder what that means. And In Time is in they actually got the groove together.
Well, you know,
it's funny,
drummers can be tricky, but that
indeed
sounds, you know,
it
sounds as though they all the shit together. And Live, I mean, that's really cool. Some very tricky playing going on there, you know, for Live. Real nice, you know.
Yeah. Well, when I looked into Pat's history, my goodness, man, this guy has lived. He was one of six children born in Derrylin in Northern Ireland. By the time he was 14, he was an All-Ireland fiddle champion.
Blimey.
Then he swapped his fiddle for a guitar and formed a band with his two brothers, and they ended up being they were called Mama's Boys. And they've toured with Hawkwind in 1982, Wishbone Ash.
Ah, my friend's Andy.
Thin Lizzy's Farewell Tour, Paul Carrick, Gary Moore. They played Nebworth of Deep Purple. It just goes on for years and years and years. The guys have just, I mean, Pat has been in the music scene and just touring and gigging.
We can't get him mixed up, of course, with Mick McManus, the old wrestler. That's what I want
behave
you to
yourself,
say. Yeah, I know. We're wrestling to the floor with a bit of a grip, you know? Anyway.
So how interesting is that, though? What a family legacy. And also, another thing you didn't know is that Pat actually wrote Can't Go It Alone for Wishbone Ash on their 23rd album, The Elegant Stealth, in 2011.
Well, there you go.
Hey.
Marvellous.
So, and we've got our last band.
We have indeed.
Now, they're called Big Country.
Yeah.
We know Big Country.
We do indeed. Big Country, massive band, of course, in the 80s. One of my favourites, real different sound because they're like traditional music instruments and stuff, and it's like traditional music blended in.
Yeah.
And Stuart Adamson was absolutely fantastic, formerly the Skids, of course, and sadly he's dead. I think he committed suicide. Cool guy. And the Big Country that are now basically have two of my big mates in, a guy called Simon Huff and Scott Whitley on bass. Simon Huff's a guitar player who I've both played with around North Manchester and stuff. All good, really good good guys. And they're playing at the headline
on Saturday,
the Saturday
night. That's right.
We're kicking off the festival at 12:30, aren't we?
Yeah.
With the Starlight Campbell Band. And then there's a whole array of bands on,
yeah,
and then they're on later on.
I'm really looking forward to meeting Scott because, of course, it's bass. So he's a bass player, of course. We're going to talk some bass. So anyway, we'll play out the show with a tune called Chance by Big Country. But that's the end of this week's Supertone Show Linton Festival Special Edition.
Fantastic.
To find out more information and to buy your festival tickets, to come and say hello in person, I hope you do. The festival website is lintonfestival.org. That's LINTON. lintonfestival.org. And next week, we're going to have a part two.
Amazing.
Playing more songs from the bands that are playing across the Linton Festival weekend.
Great.
So that's the end of the show for this week.
Well, it's been a good one.
I've really enjoyed it too. So you can get hold of us if you want to say hello at Twitter, which is at Susie and Simon, and of course on Facebook.
And the show's available on Mixcloud, Spotify, iTunes, and iHeartRadio. So please tell your friends and enjoy Big Country.